This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Today, I speak with Meg Fisher from Real Parents and Real Collective, as well as Sport Bay of Plenty. She's about all things that contribute to our kids' positive mental health and well-being, and that's what we talk about today. Thanks for joining us for Being Real Parents with me, Anna, and my colleague and buddy,
Melissa from Monday Creative.
We work in the parenting space, and it's here where we'll talk about our worlds as parents, the good, the not so good, and the hilarious, and mix this with what we know about behaviour and psychology. So today we're lucky to have Meg Fisher in the studio, well, actually via phone with us today because she's up in the Bay in Plenty. She works as a part of our Real Parents and Real Collective team, as well as for Sport Bay of Plenty. She's a total advocate of physical activity being made available for kids, but mostly because it's great for their mental health and well-being, which is the topic we're going to be discussing today. Kia ora, Meg.
Kia ora, lovely to be here.
So lovely to have you with me. Thank you so much. And we're missing Melissa today, but that's okay. She's got other things on, and so it's just you and me.
Bad. Such as this time of year.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I mean, let's just intro you for a start. Will we just talk about who you are, what you do, what's important, and start from there.
Yeah, look, great question. I guess, lucky enough to have been involved with Real Parents and Real Collective for the last few years in different capacities, which has been fantastic, and the opportunity to work alongside some beautiful parents in the Incredible Years program and to work alongside yourself, Anna, on Sparklers, which has been a resource for our kaiako in the wellbeing space. And then lucky enough to be working in the Healthy Active Learning Kaupapa at the moment, which is supporting our kaiako in schools to have our tamariki be more active through quality physical activity, through play, and through weaving movement into the rest of the curriculum. And that's me.
Amazing. And you've got a background in teaching and in psychology. So you were a teacher for many years, yeah?
Yes. Yep.
A much loved teacher.
That
I only know that from the amount of presents that you used to get at the end of the year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's nothing like a good chocolate or bottle of wine for teachers at the end of the year. Yeah. No, very, very cool job to have had, and now a real privilege to be working with teachers, having an understanding for the huge job that they do.
Yeah, exactly. So you've been on holiday. This is going live on the 24th of January. How have things been? Anything on top? How's 2023 working out?
Yeah. What's on top? I think there's a few things. There's a bit of a new project that we've been working on, our Manaho Mahi, which hopefully is going to be a really beautiful resource connecting to whole water and a sense of belonging. So we're excited to be sharing that with teachers in the coming weeks. And otherwise, I've had the privilege of working in my parents' preschool over the break. So active, relaxing, but very special to be in there connecting with those babes.
Which is actually how you and I met. You were doing some of that teaching over the break while my own children were at that preschool. How cool was that?
Yeah, so cool. It feels like a wee while ago.
It does, doesn't it? Yes, and So that's how we got to know each other, and how I knew that you and I shared many of the same philosophies and come from the same background in many ways, except I'm not a teacher and nor am I very physically active. So
I don't think you have to be super physically active to talk about it, you know.
Thanks. Good, I'm pleased. Cool. So what else? Oh, manaho. So you've just brought that up. And this is, and actually I love the way that you described that because it's so new to us that I haven't found that way yet. And it's about exploring hauora, so our health, through a sense of belonging. And we're setting that up specifically for teachers in mind at the moment in order that they can support their tamariki with that. Do you want to talk some more to that at all?
Yeah, I think, even in the parenting space, like, we know how huge it is at the moment working with our young people. There's so much going on for them and there's so much going on for ourselves, you know, either as parents or as teachers. When there's the opportunity to connect with beautiful resources that are relevant to what's happening in the world, to what's happening in Aotearoa, to what's happening in our surroundings, you know, our local environments, and they support either our teachers or our parents to allow our tamariki to feel those emotions and to feel that sense of belonging, feel, you know, how they connect and where they belong. And I think we feel I certainly feel super privileged to, I guess, have the capacity to work in that space and to make that space a little bit easier for our pākehā who have a lot to be doing, a lot to contend with.
Yeah, I always see it as my job when I'm working with teachers to make their job easier in some small way, because I just know how busy they are, how stretched they are, and how much they care them in some tiny way to be able to do their job as best they can. Yeah.
Yeah, and love with the manaho kaupapa that we all come from a slightly different background or with a slightly different lens, but actually all believe in the same thing, you know, like all have that real collective, desire to support our teachers, yeah, to make their jobs easier and then in turn, you know, uplift the well-being of our young people.
Yeah, I always say that my job is actually to support tamariki to be the best versions of themselves that they can be. But I also say that I barely ever see tamariki these days, apart from my own. Generally, I try and support the supporters, which are both whānau and teachers kai ako as well. Yeah, and you're right. It is a real privilege to be able to do that, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, super lucky.
You're listening to Being Real Parents with Melissa and Anna on Plains FM 96.9.
So I'd love to talk to you more about tamariki wellbeing, and because you see a lot of tamariki as well inside of schools, and now obviously recently inside of an early childhood centre, I'm just interested to see if there's any particular challenges that you notice that we could look to, or. Yeah, is there anything that you're noticing at the moment, or are we all just refreshed and happy?
Oh, it makes me laugh. I think that was it's always so funny leading up to the Christmas holidays when people are going, oh, you know, I can't wait to the break and to be fully refreshed next year. And then you sort of get there and it's like, oh, 2 weeks doesn't really cut it, does it? But, you know, and, you know, some people have had longer, but still I'm like, I think everyone could do with a couple of months. Anyway, here we are.
I think we've started the last few years kind of on our knees, haven't we? Like, you know, glass half full, as opposed to in other years where we've felt much more refreshed. And I think, you know, the COVID time has had a remarkable impact. Last year was our supposed first normal year back. Turns out normal years are just exhausting.
Yeah, in normal years, you know, what is normal? That's such a thing of the past, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in answer to your question there, in terms of what's challenging at the moment, I mean, I don't know if it can be pinpointed to one thing. I really think that, you know, arguably there's a perfect storm. I think time is always something that's big for our whānau and for our schools, and where our attention is diverted to or pulled to, I think, is is probably a really big challenge in this day and age, whether that's, full-time work and full-time parenting, or whether that's different technology that takes our attention, whatever that looks like. I think that's probably going to be like a big ongoing challenge into this year.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because that's certainly, that's true for me as a parent. I work full time and I am time poor, that's for sure. I want you to feel okay about giving advice from your perspective, and maybe I'm that perfect person to kind of think about in that as well. Like, if candidly I'd asked you, you know, what was the greatest piece of advice you could give me for 2024 to have things smooth, you know, sail more smoothly this year for me and my kids, would it be that I drop something and that I spend some more time and I reduce the amount of screen time I'm giving my kids? Big question.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Great pathway. I think like dropping technology or that kind of terminology just isn't realistic in this day and age. We're so connected, we're so reliant on it, and it's so important. Mm. But how can we lessen it? Mm. Or how can we do things that take our attention away from that? So how can we be present in the outdoors? I think that's a really huge piece for everybody to sort of take time to notice, to get those endorphins that are not only good for our tamariki, but for ourselves. I really like the concept of the word be in terms of just be, be present, be a part of things that are happening in front of you. And I also love that be can stand for big energy or big enjoyment. And I think that kind of reminder to be okay to really enjoy little moments, because that's at the end of the day what life is made up of. And, you know, celebrating those small things or really enjoying the small things that give you a laugh. You know, when your child says something funny, to be able to stop and really laugh and be a part of that with them is, something that our attention can easily be taken away from. And that would probably be my biggest piece of advice, I guess.
That's so cool, actually. And I mean, I think that we've been so, kind of forced to believe, you know, Nike slogans like just do it. And just being is something that is so available to us. But sometimes we just need reminding of that too, eh?
Oh, totally. And I think there's no one's perfect. I think I would do that all of the time. It's not how we roll at Real Parents. You know, we're real about it. But I think, sometimes we do just need the reminder for that and the permission for it, that actually to stop and just be is really important, and it's okay to do that.
Yeah. Mm. So in terms of kids' mental health and well-being, us being able to be more present with them in the home is going to contribute to that. I mean, I know there's like serious factors, like we'd also say in terms of ensuring our kids have positive mental health and well-being, we'd ensure that they lived in a safe home, and that we also were taking care of our own mental health and well-being too. So just being is going to contribute to that, so that they get more of our time, more of our sort of focus.
I think I was actually just discussing with a colleague of mine around some of the statistics that have recently come out around play. Mm. And one of the statistics that we were trying to get over the enormity of it, I guess, but it was, it concluded that on average, our tamariki are playing 8 hours less per day than previous generations. And we were like, 8 hours, that's enormous. But actually, that is a shift in terms of, the before school time, during school, that's a real change that, I guess my work tries to support. And then after school and in our evenings, that's something that's hugely changed compared to previous generations. So Yeah, in terms of, you know, mental well-being in the home, actually, yeah, that chance for play, so being present in that, letting the child lead that. I mean, that's a huge part of, I guess, supporting relationships and being well. Mm. And it's not just for the child, but for the adult as well. There's a lot of fun to be had in play.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that 8-hour reduction is massive, isn't it? And probably why we're seeing more play-based learning inside of schools. There's a compensation for that to some degree. But
absolutely.
That is extraordinary. Yeah. So is that just devices that are creating that the 8-hour gap or change?
Yeah, I think devices certainly are a big part of it.
Mm.
But I also think, you know, there's also been a little bit of a shift in safety and things in terms of people maybe not having their children out playing in the street, and not that we're saying that's the answer, but that was, you know, back in the day, it was like, yep, come home and it's dark, you know. So it was much looser in terms of what that looked like, I guess, in our neighbourhoods and, yeah, in our communities.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
It might also be about parents working longer hours and unable to support the amount of play.
Absolutely. Mm. And also really structured routines, you know, having different things on after school or different commitments, and absolutely work commitments where a child needs to be either quiet or you know, indifferent after school care or activities.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And in terms of kind of, you know, if I wanted to be, I'm saying this because you're so physically active, it's a part of who you are and what you do. I'm wondering about any tips for families that have it on their to-dos this year, on their just beings this year to be healthier?
Yeah, I think, the physical activity piece is so interesting. I really love to refer to it as movement.
Because
I think movement can be anything, and for it not to be daunting, you know, it can look different for whatever you need it to look like. You know, physical activity is not just going out for a run, because there are lots of people in the world, myself included, who that just sounds horrific, and gosh, I can't think of anything worse. But if that's, you know, going to the lake and going for a swim, or if that's getting out on scooters, or if that's building a skateboard jump and then, you know, having turns going over it, or if that's, I'm not sure, they could, you know, star jumps around, or dance party in the living room, actually how cool. And to be active is just so important, or to have movement throughout our day is just huge. And something I'm certainly a believer in, but I think it's in terms of our te whare tapu whā moro, our whole, you know, sense of health, actually our taha tinana, our physical well-being is a huge part of what contributes to our mental well-being as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it sits in all of the models of health and well-being, doesn't it? Some sort of physical activity. I do love the term movement as opposed to it being about exercise or sport. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's where, like, even the term, like, quality physical activity, we talk lots about in schools, trying to move away from that, like, traditional PE, you know, idea, and all of the negative probably memories for people that come alongside the term PE, and the concept that, you know, quality physical activity could actually be, you know, a really cool school trip down to the local reserve to play in the trees. You know, that is quality physical activity. So the idea that can look really different to sport or anything that's super structured.
And it feels too, in your work, and I've heard this from Sport Canterbury too, there's a move away from everything being kind of carefully monitored in terms of safe, like physical safety. And am I right? Like you're saying climb trees, I'm saying do we do that?
Yeah. I guess, you know, find truth within reason on the lower branches. No, I think there is probably a little bit of a move away from that in terms of like that allowing for risk taking and allowing for a bit of resilience building and I guess opportunities for children to find their own limits and to be just still have safety within that, but not to take that away from young people because it's such a beautiful way to learn.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to a British podcast recently where they were discussing the importance of play and the reduction in that across the world, and the reduction apparently comes last in New Zealand, so they were saying, because we still climb trees, and that's been removed from other areas. So apparently in Britain that's not a thing, and in America that's not a thing, and Australia it's becoming less of a thing, and here it's still a bit of a thing, which is, and I think we need to hold tight to climbing trees.
Absolutely, yeah. And you just see the joy it brings, or the imagination that it allows for, and the creativity. It's pretty, pretty fun.
Yeah, it is pretty fun, isn't it? Yeah, I at my youngest daughter's school, they've got marks on each of the trees as to where the kids are allowed to climb.
To climb, yeah.
Because they love it, and I was just so pleased that they weren't. The word banning it was never, part of that kōrero, which is such a beautiful thing. It was just about how do we make sure that this is safe and stop ourselves having to save so many children who get stuck. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. When you see the teacher climbing up the tree after the children.
Yeah. Or the child in tears at the top of the tree. Oh, so bad. Is there anything else that you want to say on whānau who are wanting to be healthier this year?
I think probably another piece for me would be around like the modelling of emotions.
Mm.
And I think I say that in terms of being healthier, and that like there's stress in the world, and probably that will continue to be the case this year. And that it's okay to, to feel worried about something or to have sadness around something, and sort of the importance of labelling that and showing that to our tamariki, because I think it allows them to realise that a range of emotions are really normal and that we can move between them. And that would probably be my other, the other piece to add there, I think.
Yeah, lovely. That kind of emotionally healthy as well as, as an important aspect too.
Yeah, hugely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you've added that in there, actually. It just didn't even occur to me in this kōrero to talk about emotional literacy, ability, and modelling that for our kids.
Yeah, and I think it's something we're beginning to speak much more about, and it's something that I know schools are doing a lot of work in that space, realising that it's a real priority for them. Mm. But I think sometimes for our whānau or for parents, it can be easy to try to not model that in this ideal of perfection and things, when we know that that's not real. And the beauty of modelling things just really gives permission to our young people to be okay with feeling a range of emotions instead of that being something they try not to do as well.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, so good. Three top tips, here they come. What are you? I've heard them, but I'm going to just support you with them. Go.
What are they going to do? Three top tips. Be present.
Yeah.
And enjoy the little moments.
Yeah.
Would be number one. Number two would be get out into nature as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
How lucky we are to be in New Zealand, where we have an abundance of that.
Mm.
And number three would be model your big emotions and share in them, talk to them and show the change between them.
Beautiful. Such a pleasure, Meg. Thank you so much for coming on to this potty with us. And, just appreciate all your expertise and all you do for us at Real Collective. You are a superstar.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying to catch compliments at the moment, but not very good at them. But thank you. It's a pleasure to have been on here with you.
You're really welcome. Take good care.
All right. Ka kite.
Thank you for tuning in again this week. For anything that we've referred to, please head over to the Real Parents website or tune into previous episodes, which can be found on Plains FM website. Search for Being Real Parents.
Super. Thanks for joining us today.
We hope you've learned that while parenting is challenging sometimes, that's totally normal. It's been fun having you with us. Keep being amazing.
Bye.